take up our Bibles and turn to that word this morning in Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25, where we'll take for our text verses 31 through 40, and then we'll flip over to chapter 27, just to look at two verses there, verses 20 and 21. If you're visiting with us, we've been working our way through the book of Exodus, and recently now to the tabernacle and to the furnishings and to that which was a part of that place where God established not only worship for his people, but relationship, that he gives a model for us of that, of which we see in a very special and interesting way in that of the golden lampstand. And so we'll read of that lampstand as well as the oil, the sacrifice of God's people to keep that light burning as well. And so let's hear these words, Exodus chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. We pay special attention to the reading of God's word because it is that. It's the very word of God. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stems, its cups, its calyxes, and its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And there shall be six branches going out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side of it, and three branches of the lampstand out of the other side of it. Three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on one branch, and three cups made like almond blossoms, each with calyx and flower on the other branch. So for the six branches going out of the lampstand. And on the lampstand itself, there shall be four cups made like almond blossoms, with their calyxes and flowers, and a calyx of one piece with it under each pair of the six branches going out from the lampstand. Their calyxes and their branches shall be of one piece with it, the whole of it a single piece of hammered work of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and the lamps shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold. And see that you make them after the pattern for them, which is being shown you on the mountain. And then let's turn over to chapter 27, verses 20 and 21. Exodus 27, verse 20, where we read, "You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn. In the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony, Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening to morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, may apply it to our hearts and to our lives this morning. Let's ask him to do that in a moment of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we may wonder, what does a lampstand have to do with our relationship with you? With the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ, with the promises that we have heard today. And yet, Father, your abiding presence is especially important to us and to your people. And so, Lord, we ask that as you would bring your word before us, that you would illuminate it for us. And Father, for me, as I bring that word before, as our hearts receive it, as our hands are readied and feet readied to serve upon it, Lord, we pray, make the gospel of Jesus Christ known to us. And we ask it in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are you sure they're home? I don't see any lights on. Maybe it's something that you've said and having to drop somebody off, or you've gone to the house and you wonder, am I at the right house at all? A dark house is an uninviting house. In fact, on Reformation Day, as we Dutchly go along collecting free candy from our neighbors, we know not to collect from houses where there are no lights on. There's nothing to be had there. And so unless you're one of those people that puts your house on a timer, when there's a light on, somebody's home. And even when we are home, there's comfort in having lights on, right? I mean, many of you keep nights lights on for you, or maybe you just pass it off as for your kids. But there's blessing to be found in light. There's comfort in it. And that's exactly what the Lord promises his people in the place of his dwelling, his home, his tabernacle. And yet, while such comfort and security is a blessing, the Lord again is speaking about more than just a lampstand, just a piece of furniture, that which would serve as a sort of nightlight for Israel. For no, he uses that light to display for us the more full and wonder of his work, the relationship among the people whom he dwells. And it's a picture that's made more plain for us in the person and working of Jesus Christ, and in the wonderful outpouring of his Holy Spirit. He leaves a light on for us. And it's a glorious truth in this day. The Lord, the dwelling Lord, illumines the wonder of his relationship to Israel in the command to build a lampstand. Hear that again. The dwelling Lord illumines the wonder of his relationship to Israel in his command to build a lampstand. And so that light then points to three things. It is the light of his presence. We're going to see that in verses 31 to 36. In the light of his perfection in verses 37 to 39. And then in the light of his plan for his people in the last verse, as well as then the two verses in chapter 27. But it's a lampstand, so it's there to give light. And so the Lord is not just giving, again, a nightlight, but he's shedding light upon such realities. It's something that he had done for Israel from the beginning, right? Even as they were led out of Egypt onto this Exodus, here is that fire by night lighting the way for them. It started much earlier, as we'll talk about in a few minutes. But that light of his presence then would also be known among a people who are given to it, who are given to the light, who are given to obedience to that light. And so that's the call right away in verse 31. You shall make a lampstand of pure gold. But why? Outside of just another test of their obedience, why does this need to be made? Why does the Lord call his people to make a large menorah? Well, to give light. And you say, well, that's a basic answer. We don't need a full sermon on that. Here's a candle, here's a light, we're done. Well, not exactly. Because why would light be required? I mean, the Lord's presence was made already known in the temple, in a table. It's made known in an ark. Why something else? Why something more? Well, light speaks of presence. And so when the light is on, the Lord is there. And so while the people would understand the presence of the Lord during the day, even in the work of the priesthood, so too their seeing a light in the evening would make them mindful of his presence. And there's something pretty awesome about that. I mean, think about it today. I mean, we take for granted all the lights that are on almost all of the time. From streetlights to billboards to business signs, and that's just a few. Even out here in the country, or the first night that I was out in northwest Iowa and saying, where are all the lights? Where is all the town? It's still bright. But there in Israel, among Israel there in the wilderness, outside of maybe a small campfire, what shines forth in their midst now? Here's a light for everyone to see. That it would have been the illumination of the holy place, which means what? God is here. God's presence does not leave us. He does not slumber nor sleep. What a beautiful light. We know all the time that he is near. And so while the lampstand serves a pragmatic purpose to be a symbol of God's presence, he also says, I want it to be beautiful. The lampstand shall be made of hammered work. Its base, its stems, its cups, its calyxes, its flowers shall be of one piece with it. And we've heard this language before, right? Just like the cherubim on the top of the ark with wings covering the mercy seat, this was to be of the finest craft and skill, all one hammered piece, only a work that God could give wisdom in order to create. And so a beauty would be used to symbolize the light of his presence. But the light is more, because the light is also the light of life. Because when the Lord is present among his people, how is he present? He's present in spirit. And so here is a picture not only of a greater work, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, but a picture of the presence of the Holy Spirit among his people. Here is the table and the bread who is Christ. Here is the Spirit who grants life and illumination. Here's the Spirit at work among his people, who is known not just in light, but in new life. That's really ultimately when we think of the lampstand, kids. We see a light, a lamp of light and of life. And when we see it in verses 32 to 36, what we're reading there is a description of how this, and again, we'll just use the term because it's something familiar to us, how this menorah will look. And it will look like a tree. That this lamp in the midst of God's presence would look like a tree. It will take on the appearance of an almond or an almond if you live in North Central California. And yet an almond tree symbolized new life or the beginning of life because an almond tree is the first tree to blossom, at least among the trees known there to those people, was the first tree to blossom in the spring. Here is life that comes to bloom after the winter once more. And so by way of his lampstand, but by more, by way of his presence, the Lord is saying, I give you life, a new life that can only be found in my light. And such a promise, even as we've heard this morning, can only be made by the Lord and giver of life, and only by way of the authority of that word. And that's what his presence speaks to, right? God hasn't gone away that we may live as we please. The light is always on. He's always here. And so his light then speaks to the wonder of the truth of his word, because the light is the only way of illuminating that same word. His light speaks to the good and it breaks the darkness. And so only a God who illumines this world by his presence can grant life. And so as you're hearing those things, what are you thinking about? A symbol that's more than just in the tabernacle. But now you go back to the book of Genesis, where here now is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And here is that way that God speaks. This is my word. You already know good and evil because you have me. You take in me. But now what stands next to it? Here is that tree of life. Life that is only found in him. That in the place of his holiness, even in that picture of lamp and fire, it brings us there. So in bringing us there, it says what? Well, we need to be holy. And that's true here too, right? Because as we think about this burning tree, this burning bush in the midst of the tabernacle, now we're brought back to Moses' call. You are holy and this place is holy. And so there's a picture. Even as later on, Aaron's staff will bloom with almond blossoms, a picture of new life, but also the need for a priesthood, and rather a need for a better priest, one with authority in himself. And so we need one who is light. We need light. We need a life that light is that is beautiful. We need a light that brings life. We need one who is perfectly holy. And so while that lampstand shines forth in the Spirit's work, what that Spirit is doing is illuminating the life, the person, and work of Jesus Christ. That tree and light is Jesus. He is that tree and that light. The one promised in Isaiah 60, verse 3, a nation shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. So that Jesus can speak in fulfillment in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. His presence brings life. Do you have comfort in that truth? Do you hear that this morning and know that? I know the light of the Lord in my life because it has brought new life. It has illuminated to me the need for holiness, one only found in Jesus. A light that leads the way back to that law and gospel in the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, that brings us to the need for atonement in Jesus Christ. Does that light pervade and break forth into every part of your heart and your life? For you see, if his presence is real in your life, then his light, his word, his holiness will be at work in you to lead you to good and rest in the life that is granted to you in him. That what would shine forth in us, that would shine forth in Israel, would be more than a light just telling them that the Lord is in his holy dwelling, but it would shine forth as a testimony to who he is and who his people were to be. That who he is first in the light of his perfection, and then the second place. Because that light speaks to one who is present, but one who is perfect. And in that perfection, then, the Lord comes and desires a way of covenant to enter into relationship with his people. That's what he did there at the mountain, in fire. And so we're thankful this morning that we don't come to a font of fire, we come to a font of water. And yet it still gives light. It still speaks to us the truth of a God who desires to enter into relationship with us. And so if a holy God was dwelling in the midst of his people in light, he desired to make his people then full of light. He desires to make his people holy by way of that same light. And so the light was left on, as it were, not only to remind his people that he was there, but also that he was still working. Again, take that analogy out. When there are no lights on in a restaurant, the business is closed. When a business is shut down, even in this day, so much of 24/7 operation, when that light is off, there is nothing to be had. God is always working. And so he was working his perfect will and way. And again, in terms of what's written for us in this text, how do we get there? Well, we see that his perfection was made plain, perfect in number. Verse 37, you shall make seven lamps for it. Not five, not nine, you will make seven. He chooses the number of his perfection and completion in order to perfectly reveal to his people the wonder of who he is by way of the light that he would provide. It was also perfect in its purpose. Keep reading, and the lamp shall be set up so as to give light on the space in front of it. That this whole structure would be set up in order to shine light forth right in front of it, a spotlight as it were. That there is a spotlight in the holy place for what? To shine light on the bread of his presence. To shine light on the sacrifice that was made. To shine light that there is a most holy place, an atonement for sins. And so it would shine forth to spotlight that which was most important. That in the light of the Lord, the priests then see what? They see the table. They see that the Lord provides better than bread by way of his word. And now they will see in the working of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit that he will illumine that word in order to give his people the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And that is the light that he is shining forth always in holiness and perfection. For that light was to be known also then perfect in purity. The lampstand was to be of pure gold, but so was everything else used for it. Look at verse 38. Its tongs and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made with all these utensils out of a talent of pure gold. That purity shines forth in importance. But in terms of the relationship with his people, it shines forth with what? Holiness. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. He wants us to be as pure as he is pure. That we might be vessels fit for his service. And so the light illuminates his desire for his people. The people then were to see his work in terms of his relationship. And so think of those three points that we've just talked about. That perfect number, that perfect purpose, and that perfect purity. And now we start to see an example of what he works in us by way of his light. You see, he calls a definite, perfect number of people to himself by way of the light of his perfect will. He grants them salvation by way of that light according to his perfect purpose. And he makes that people holy by way of his light, sanctifying them in perfect purity. And he does all that through the light of his presence and perfection in the light that is Jesus Christ. That he who effectually calls us and gloriously saves us and beautifully sanctifies us by his Spirit is there. And he's here in this place as he grants his light to his word as well in relationship to us. And so we need him, congregation. We need the light of Jesus Christ to make plain our darkness and our need for him, that we would cry out for salvation and life. And he gives that light in his Son and Spirit according to his plan. And that briefly in the last place. Because he gives light that we may discern his plan. And so we see his perfection by way of that light. But we also get to see what he's working in us for his glory forever. That even the light in the tabernacle made that plain too. Because again, it shows that he is near. Don't miss it. He was there. He was working to make himself known and to save his people. They needed his light. Without his light, all they and we would ever know is darkness. And so again, we need the light of that presence to make clear to us our sin and then shine the spotlight on our need for the person and work of Jesus. And yet that same light also allows his people to what? To rest. You rest in my presence. You rest in my work and in my perfection. And so that light would remind them of their need for him and what he was working in them. And when he gives that light, we know salvation. We know it completely and totally. We know it. And so we cannot have fellowship, true fellowship with him, unless he brings light into our hearts and souls. But when he does that, life becomes clear. And we see things for what they truly are. And we see our lives for what they are as well. And when we see in such a way, our hearts swell in thanksgiving for that light and a desire to serve and follow only him. So again, not only is his presence signaled in that light and his perfection, but also his plan. There needs to be light continually because in it, thanks for his light, we live and serve as light in all things. And so that light continues to shine unto a patterned obedience. Look at verse 40. And see that you make them after the pattern for them which is being shown you on the mountain. That all the branches and cups and calyxes and so forth were to be made to that exacting specification. His light is his light, and his is the only light. And so there will be no other source of light, and there is no other way that you are to live as children of light except his. And so as those who have been granted such illumination and new life in Christ by his Spirit, our lives are to be lived in every part of every day, recognizing the testimony of light that shines in our hearts, that in Christ we would live and are to live a life of patterned obedience as well, which is made plain to us in every part of his word, even as we consider who Jesus Christ is and how he walked among us, that we would shine forth that light, that our patterned obedience would follow after his sacrifice, that his light would shine through us, not only in patterned obedience, but in perpetual service. And that's why we attach the understanding of the oil to this sermon and not its own. Because look what he gives. Again, Exodus 27:20. You shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may be regularly set up to burn. You will command them to bring a sacrifice. But in the light of the Lord, what he shines on them is the great opportunity afforded to them of his regular light. I am always going to shine this way in your midst. And so your sacrifice is to shine forth in the same, with your joy of being used by God to bring that, which would now act as the substance and testimony, to be the symbol of that light. That now comes that transition. I shine this light so that you will too. And so it would be tended. Verse 21, in the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening to morning. I found this formulation helpful in a commentary. Quote, the priests offered sacrifices on the table as a symbol of God's presence, even as Israel's sacrifice of oil was a symbol of God's Spirit. That now their perpetual service would give testimony not only to the light, but it would fuel that light, even as God would cause his light to shine, not just from one lampstand, but now in a life lived and in new life and new hearts given. For it shall be a statute forever to be observed throughout their generations by the people of Israel. That what we saw in the font this morning was a testimony that God is faithful. And now he did the same thing in his tabernacle. That the Lord would be faithful to his light and continue to raise up a people who would live and walk as children of light. Congregation, hear it clearly. The light of the world is Jesus, who lived a life of perfect obedience and service for us, that our lives would be forever changed by his light, by his perfect presence, so that we would be holy to serve him. And he continues to give us light so that we may see light and live life and reflect life. Jesus Christ is that light, and yet what is he commanded of us? We don't build lampstands. None of us is called to build a menorah for our own house. Instead, he makes us his lampstands. He says what? In Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. That's who we are in Christ. You are the light of the world. The city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, that that lampstand shone forth in that hole in the tent, so that everybody in all of the camp of Israel would see God is in us. Now you as Christians have opportunity in the oil of the Spirit and the grace that God gives you to shine forth to that reality in relationship to him. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and what? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. His light is to pour forth from us continually. Why? Because his light is found in his dwelling. And we are that dwelling. For God who said, 2 Corinthians 4:6, let light shine out of darkness, had shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you believe his presence dwells in you? Because if you believe that, then his light should shine forth from you. Not just sometimes, and not just on Sunday morning, but day and night, always. Because by that light we see his kingdom shining forth in us. By that light we look forward to the day when, you know what? The Lord isn't going to need us on earth to do that. And he's not going to need a lampstand. But it will be the light of himself, because we'll have all the light we need in the glorious presence of God. It's the truth of Revelation 21, which we close. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People of God, in his light do we see light. Only in Christ may we know life and light by the power of his Spirit. And so may we pray, Father, help us to know. Help us to live in a way that says he shines into the darkness of our hearts, revealing our sin, but who makes his dwelling here that we would serve him in continual light. May we find comfort in the one who makes his home in us and keeps his light on forever. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of this word. We thank you, Father, for that lampstand and for your presence among Israel and what was pointing to a greater and fuller reality for us as you make your dwelling in us because of the work of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and the power of the Spirit, then who fuels us and works in us that we would shine brightly to the nations of the wonder of your steadfast love and redeeming mercies. And so, Father, if there are those here who do not know your Son, who still walk in darkness, may you provide the light of the Lord, that you would call your people to yourself, even those who are found here in this place, that you would bring them to Jesus, the light of the world, that they would live. And Father, for those who find themselves secure in Christ, not by our works, but by his, Father, may we be true reflectors, true bearers of life, torches of the same, Father, no one would be able to see us and see darkness at all, but they would see the light of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.